praise God. Hallelujah. This is Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm filling in for Pastor Marcia today. She is visiting with her son and daughter-in-law in Texas. They just had a child, and so Pastor Marcia's been out there. And I'll be joined a little bit later today by Angel, who apparently is already here. Angel, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Angel.
Hey.
Hey, good to hear you. And then a little bit later, we'll be joined by Megan Kramer from Indiana. So we're going to have just a kind of a full crew here. Not everybody in the studio, but that's okay. Thank goodness for technology. I am so grateful that we can do this almost remotely. I mean, we've got people in the studio, in Florida, in Indiana. You know, it's just great to be able to do that. So I just want to praise God and say thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. It's a pleasure every week to have this show on the radio. We've been doing this now for 8 years thereabouts. I know this is show number, I wrote it down. This is show number 543. So that's over 10 years. So, you know, praise God. We've been on the air that many times. And the whole purpose is to bring life and bring hope to people. That's our whole purpose for this show, is to minister to your needs. And it when God moves in our lives, He moves with a purpose. He moves purposefully and intentionally. And maybe He wants to do something for you today, dear listeners. And I pray that you'll stay with us for the full 2 hours, because we're going to touch on some topics today that are very timely. And I will preface it by saying I work in social services, and Dr. Angel, you may be able to attest to this. And it's not just with my clients, but it seems like there's just such a pervading hopelessness, complacency, kind of a giving up, at least, you know, among my clients and also my coworkers. And it kind of frightens me a little bit. I don't know. Have you noticed that, Angel?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of fear, a lot of, yeah.
And those are topics I wanted to address today. We're kind of in between, you know, how Pastor Marcia loves her series. So we are in between series today. We'll be starting a new one this Wednesday night at the gathering. It's going to be Knowing God. So we're kind of in between. And I was praying about what to, you know, what to teach on, what to talk about today. And God just said, Give them faith, give them hope, give them love. And He, oddly enough, directed me, and I'm kind of going to stray from it just a little bit, but to a sermon I gave at Beacon 7 years ago. I always keep my notes because I'm kind of retentive about that. So, but He led me back to that and, you know, showed me that this is what we need. This is one of the things we need to hear, that we need to give the people, help them regain and strengthen their faith, maintain their hope, and increase their love. And that's really what I want to be able to do today. And I want to start out with I want to run over to Matthew for a second. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, please join us there in Matthew chapter 24. And this is where the disciples had asked Jesus about, you know, what was going to happen at the end of the age. And they were, like so many people today, all, you know, all getting excited about end time prophecy and all that. And believe me, I'm not putting that down, because that's what got me. That was kind of the hook that the Lord used to bring me to Himself was prophecy. But they wanted to know, what's going to be these signs? What's going to happen before you come back? And in verse 14, Jesus said, And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God is calling us in these days. If we believe in Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, if we follow Jesus, he's calling us to be evangelists wherever we are. Because we're to preach the gospel. He said in Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. And it's the sure sign of his soon coming is when the gospel goes out to all nations. And we are, I believe the Message Bible, you know, says to pray for harvest hands. We're to be those hands of Jesus going out and gathering in the people. But what I want to kind of concentrate on today is, Angel, what we had talked about before, that we ourselves have to know the hope that lies within us, as Peter said. You know, in 1 Peter 1:3, he said, we're born again to a living hope, not some dead hope, but a living hope. And then in 1 Peter 3:15, he says we need to be ready to give account of the hope that lies within us. And I think even Christians are losing sight of the hope that lies within us. I think, you know, I know there are times I go through that. It's like I forget, or maybe willfully forget, or it just is like, God, there's so much craziness, hatred, disruption in the world that sometimes it gets a little difficult to see that God is in control. You ever felt that way, Angel?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy. I mean, there's a lot of, you turn on the TV, listen to the news, go on social media. It doesn't matter where you go.
Yeah, especially Facebook.
Hopelessness. Yes.
I mean, Facebook is, you know, I'm limiting my time on Facebook. Because it just upsets me, or it irritates me, or it depresses me. So I just kind of, you know, I just look for like Pastor Marsha's posts or Nan's posts, you know, something I know is going to be uplifting. But we need, you know, we just need to remember that God is in control, that God is omnipotent, almighty. He hasn't dropped the ball at all. So I want to start out then, because of that, with one of, I know it's a favorite at church, one of our favorite songs, Everlasting God by Lincoln Brewster, because this really kind of brings it home that we don't serve a God, we serve the one living God.
Thank you. of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
I love that song. That's such a great song, and I believe that's Lincoln Brewster's little girl at the end reading out of Isaiah chapter 40, which I think is a wonderful way to end that song. Some things that, you know, that have concerned me so much lately have just been the divisions, the half-truths, the untruths, all of that. And I think what upsets me the most, Angel, is I hear some of this coming from people who call themselves Christians. And that really gets under my skin. Those are the times when I have to really pray, you know, make that decision to maintain a forgiving attitude and maintain, you know, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 about praying for those, you know, praying for those who are persecuting you and that sort of thing. I just am so concerned because I see. I'm sorry. Oh, Megan's on. Yay. Hey, Megan.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey. Angel's here too.
Hi, Angel.
Hey, Megan.
Hey. It's great. Okay, I'm on. We're going to be cooking now. So, I just the Lord showed me some stuff about things that we have to hold on to be effective in these last days. Because just because it's, you know, just because we see all the craziness in the world, and speaking for myself, and I do believe we are in the last days. I just don't see any way scripturally around that. So, you know, I think we're in the tail end of those last days. And God has called us to help bring in a harvest. And I want to read a little bit out of Revelation chapter 7, which portrays kind of the what it's going to be like at the end, and just talks about the great harvest that comes in even in the most difficult times. And I think sometimes we think, well, we can't do this because it's the tribulation or the great tribulation. You know, we can't be ministering and preaching and all that. But, yeah, we have to, because in Revelation chapter 7, starting with verse 9, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.' Then one of the elders," I love this, "one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?'" Now, like John's going to know the answer to that. "But John said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me," the elder said to me, "'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence.'" A great multitude that no one could number. Those are the people that are going to come to know Jesus in the latter days. So, it's an incredible harvest And Jesus said we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the field. The reason for that is if we don't go, who's going to go? Right? I mean, if we don't go, and I'm not saying, you know, Megan, I'm not saying that you, like, need to go to Africa, or Dr. Angel, that you need to go to South America. Heaven knows Pastor's probably going to be there soon. But we need to go even as close as our next-door neighbor. You know? Did you ever get the feeling like if God called you to evangelize, that you'd have to go to Africa? Or is that just me?
Well, it's what you always think, it's to the extreme.
Right.
You know, it's like, I can't really do that here, you know, in the neighborhood that I live in. I just don't ever see myself evangelizing, because I can't imagine myself going and having to go overseas. But it's not to that extreme.
Absolutely not. And I think that's the issue that we have, is that if God's, you know, if we say, here I am, God, send me, that he's going to send me to a mud hut in Mexico or something, you know.
Right.
I think that's maybe our fear. But, you know, Paul wrote in Romans, how are they going to come to believe unless somebody preaches to them? And how are they going to preach unless they're sent? And God has commissioned each one of us to be an evangelist, you know, to be a worker in the kingdom, to bring other souls in. And, you know, I look at these scriptures in Revelation, every nation, not just some, but every single nation on the planet, all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, a number that no one can count. Now, that is a huge number. I mean, that just is incredible, that when Jesus comes back, when he's ready to return, there will be that many souls in heaven that have been harvested in the great final harvest. And I want to be a part of that. I really do. And I know, you know, I used to be in Campus Crusade for Christ. I don't know if either of you had any involvement with that in college.
No. Not I, Pastor Jim, no.
Okay. Well,
they didn't offer that in college where I went to college.
Oh, well, we had, you know, this was at Ball State, and we had Navigators, InterVarsity. There were all sorts of Christian groups. I fell in with Campus Crusade for Christ, who were, of course, famous for the four spiritual laws. And we had a set time to go out every week. We'd go to start knocking on doors in the residence hall and meet with people. And we had our little, it was kind of a trick, actually, but it was, you know, kind of a spiritual inventory that we would sit down and talk to people about, you know. And God told me that is not exactly evangelism. I mean, God bless them for the work they do. And I thank God for Campus Crusade, because that's how I got saved. Because normally at least somebody was in the residence hall. And in the 30th of October in 1973, it's like everybody had been raptured out of the residence hall. There wasn't a soul there, literally. And so the head in our dorm of Campus Crusade, he and I were, you know, we're going to go out and do this door-to-door thing. Well, nobody was there, and he asked me if there was anything I needed to talk about. And here I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm not even fully saved. You know, I had it in my head. I'd gone to church all my life, but I'd never really made Jesus Lord of my life until that day. And you know, from then on, it was like, I mean, people knew. And there's that old song by Andre Crouch, Take Me Back. I think we mentioned that last Wednesday or the Wednesday before in church. The old song by Andre Crouch, Take Me Back, Take Me Back, Dear Lord, to where I was when I started, basically. And that's kind of what I want, because I was on fire. I was I was labeled a Jesus freak, totally a Jesus freak. And I kind of miss that. I want to be a Jesus freak again. Y'all with me on that when you want to be Jesus freaks too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be Jesus freaks together. But that was the point was, I mean, people knew that where I stood, and I'll admit in my fire, I tended to probably throw off more heat than light, but it was interesting that, you know, people knew I was Christian, and if they wanted to talk about it, then they would definitely come and talk to me about it. And it's almost like I didn't have to go out and evangelize. People came, you know, people came to me. And I'm really praying that that's what happens with everyone connected with Beacon, that we would be so on fire now and so full of faith, hope, and love that people are drawn to us. You know, that people come to us because they know something's going on inside of you. And that's what I really want. I want to cast aside all the stuff that Satan tries to throw on us and walk on fire for Jesus. Because that's the most important thing that we have to do is be on fire for Jesus and walk in his power and walk in his grace. So I want to have Pete, and thank you, Pete, by the way, Pete, our engineer, who's here today, and we definitely appreciate that. We're going to play the song Oh Praise Him by the David Crowder Band. It's a little bit older, but it got me. I've listened to it again, and I thought, ooh, this would be really good, because we have to start with, like we said, the character of God, that he's everlasting, then that he's worthy of our praise. So I want to do Oh Praise Him by the David Crowder Band.
Gaze to heaven and raise and sweet. This love so rescuing. Oh, how infinitely sweet. This great love that has redeemed as one.
Great song by David Crowder Band. And it's true. We kind of start with praise and knowing God's character, and because of his character, we praise him. And then, like I said earlier, this was 7 years ago, God showed me three things that we need to hold on to, that we need to keep in order to be effective witnesses in the last days. And I'm preaching to myself with this. I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, because that may be why he brought it up, because I needed to hear it fresh for me. But Megan and Angel, what does it mean to you to keep faith, or to keep the faith?
Well, for me, keeping the faith means that no matter the craziness, no matter the chaos, that there's the one cornerstone that always stands true and stands strong, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can always fall back on him when I don't know what to do. And that's what we should be doing, is falling back onto him in those times of worry, doubt, and fear. And that is when our faith seems to dwindle, but that is when we need to try to engage a stronger faith. And ways of doing that is praising and praying and worshiping the Lord, because through those periods of time where you feel like you're stuck in a lag or you're stuck in some quicksand, that is what's going to keep your head above the water, is staying positive and maintaining that connection with the Lord.
Exactly. That's good. Angel, how about you? What does it mean?
Yeah,
to
I love how Megan put it, and I absolutely agree with everything she said. And just to kind of add, I think also keeping the faith is growing our faith daily. It's the daily things we do with God, even when everything's looking good. And sometimes we kind of dwindle from our daily practices, and, life is good and we don't have a lot of problems going on. And keeping that faith is, it keeps, no matter if we're going through the mountains, the valleys, the good, the bad, we're keeping our faith. We're looking towards our faith constantly.
And that's a good point when you say, when things are going good. Because sometimes and I know that happens with me, when things go really good, I'll thank Jesus, be really thankful at first, and then kind of get a little complacent because things are still going good. And, we do tend to kind of drift, or our faith kind of dwindles. We're not quite as fiery about it. When everything's going good, if something goes wrong and then God brings us out of a valley, we do praise God, or I know I praise God then. But you're right, Angel, it's maintaining that whether we're going through something or whether we're being blessed, it's praising God at all times. And that's what David said in Psalm 34, come to think of it, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. As people hear us talking about God and praising God, they'll hear it and they'll be glad. It might upset some people, and that's always going to happen, because not everybody is going to want to hear about God. Satan, who Paul called the God of this world, has blinded people's eyes, has made them antagonistic to the gospel. And, the division between those who love God and those who hate God, I believe, is already beginning. We talk a lot, just the incidents in Charlottesville about how, the divisions that exist and how we need to be unified. And that's true. Around those issues, yes. We need to stamp out things like racism and all that. We just need to get rid of that. But what I'm talking about is a division between those who believe and those who don't. And, when I think of keeping the faith, I think of kind of that division between, the sons of God and the sons of the evil one, sons and daughters, the children of God and the children of the evil one, sons of light, sons of darkness. And that's what's happening now. To me, keeping the faith means keeping my contact with the Lord, no matter what goes on around me, even to the point of giving up my life, if that's what I'm called to do. And I've joked about it, and it is kind of funny, but I took a spiritual gifts, and you guys may have done it too, and I think it'd be a good thing for Beacon to do at some point. There was a spiritual gifts inventory that I took. I don't know, I was still in Chicago, so it's been probably going on 27, 28 years maybe, but I took that. And apart from prophecy and teaching, the third highest gift on my list was martyrdom. Okay, and that doesn't mean playing the martyr. I have to put that in for Dr. Angel. that doesn't mean playing the martyr is one of my spiritual gifts, but it's the gift of laying down your life. As I jokingly say, it's a gift you only get to use once. I look at that, today, and we know from reading the book of Revelation, even reading the book of Hebrews, those who stand in their faith sometimes are persecuted. And sometimes God will deliver, like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, worship my image or die. And they said, look, our God is able to deliver us, and he will do that. But even if he doesn't, know this, King, we are not going to bow down to your image. And we know in their case, God did deliver them. But we read in Hebrews 11, where sometimes it mentions people who died for their faith. Some were, it said, sawn in half. And that refers to Isaiah. There's a legend about Isaiah being sawn in half by King Manasseh, because King Manasseh did not like Isaiah's prophesying. Talks about people being sewn into animal skins. That refers to the people who died under the Emperor Nero, when he, after the great fire in Rome, when he blamed the Christians for starting the fire, that was one of the punishments, was he would tie them up, bind them in animal skins, and set wild dogs and wolves upon them, obviously to kill them. So keeping the faith is being faithful even to the point of death. No matter what we see, it's standing firm in Jesus, even to the point of death. And that's what infuriates the devil so much. I read this morning in one of my devotionals. We need to remember that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and gives life to our mortal bodies. Jesus said in John chapter 11, those who believe in me will never die. And even if we die physically, we don't really ever die. That's the promise. We're not going to die. So, you know, I used to be, as a kid, my neighbors down the street, and I'm not knocking the Baptists, but they were really Baptist. And they like to talk about the end of the world in terms like, you know, roast them, toast them, burn them in hell, kind of, you know. And it scared me. I was so scared. Every time we just installed my city, the town I lived in, just installed those halogen street lamps, which if it's cloudy, it reflects the light off the clouds and the whole sky kind of glows red. I was convinced numerous times that I was going to die because Jesus was coming back and I was going to go to hell. But of course, that all went away when I got saved. Praise God. I don't fear death anymore. But I look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and Jesus promised the church at Smyrna, you know, you're going to go through some tribulation. You'll be thrown into jail. Some of you are going to die. But be faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And to me, that's what keeping the faith is. It's overcoming. And I'm sorry, ladies, if I'm preaching, because I am. But
preach it, Pastor.
But, you know, this is a pastoral pet peeve. Revelation 12:11. Y'all know that one? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's where we usually stop, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The rest of that verse is, and they didn't love their lives even to the point of death. I'm praying I don't have to die for Jesus. Okay, I'm praying it doesn't come to that. But these are not the days to be wishy-washy about what we believe. And yeah, it's right. Tough. I mean, it's tough. I work in a very liberal setting, okay? And if any of my coworkers happen to be listening, hey there. Y'all know I believe in creation. I'm pro-life, and that really sets me apart from where I work in my work situation. I'm probably much more centrist in my political thinking. And they know I'm Christian. I make no bones about that. I don't hide it. I mean, I don't, like, decorate with 10,000 crosses or anything. But people know. And one of my coworkers is a convert to Judaism, and she and I have some very spirited conversations. And I praise God for that. I really do, because, I mean, we have some... She can't understand. I'm a real puzzle to her because, you know, I'm Christian, but I'm like half Jewish, you know. Anyway, I'm all about our Jewish roots and stuff, and she can't wrap her head around that concept. But we have to be that out. We have to be that firm in our faith, if we're going to stand. What was it? Let's see if I can find it back in Isaiah chapter, I believe it's chapter 7. Isaiah was talking to King Ahaz, who was, he was not a good king. He roasted one of his sons as a sacrifice to one of the gods. But, yeah, in Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah was sent to King Ahaz. And, of course, a little bit later on, that's where we get Isaiah 7:14 is a prophecy about Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. But up in verse 9, the second part of that verse says, if you're not firm in faith, you'll not be firm at all. You know, you're not be able to stand. And that's what it talks about here. In order to be effective in the last days, we have to stand firm in our faith, or we're not going to stand at all. Remember, what did Jesus say about the church in Laodicea? They weren't cold. They weren't hot. They were what? They were lukewarm. And what did he do with them? Spit them out of his mouth, or some translations say vomited them out of his mouth. At least hot water is good for cleansing, and cold water is refreshing when you drink it. Lukewarm, tepid water is just awful. And I know our water pipes in the mobile home are pretty close to the ground. So when we have these long, hot days like this, you don't get cold water out of our tap. You get lukewarm, icky water. So I can kind of identify that, because I definitely want to just spew that out of my mouth. But Jesus says we have to be firm in our faith. Even if it means suffering for the faith. And okay, another pet peeve before we go to our next song, but I really get upset with whiny Christians. Oh, I'm being persecuted. People don't like me. People are trying to take away my rights. And you know what? The reason that upsets me so much is because of the martyrs in Rome, the martyrs in North Africa, the martyrs today in the Middle East. How dare we whine and complain about our little inconveniences when our brothers and sisters are dying and being beheaded for the faith? To me, that just shows we don't want to give up our comforts in order to be Christian. You know, I want to be Christian, but I don't want to have to give anything up to be Christian. And that is so wrong, and that is why so many people will be deceived in the last days, because they're not going to want to give up anything to follow Jesus. Whew, okay, enough preaching for the moment. And I think the song fits in so well right here. Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin? Because we don't need to fear anyone except the Lord our God.
Shall I fear?
Well, praise God. Angel and Megan, I want to hear from you all in just a second. But Nan has joined me today in the room here, so I wouldn't be so alone. But guess what? Nan has a poem.
She's got a poem.
I know. Shocked. I said shock runs through the crowd. Nan has a poem for us. Nan?
I am here. I hear all that you call out to me. I will help you in all that you do. I am always right here for you. I will strengthen you, and I will help you through. I am your awesome, mighty God. I will help you with all of your needs. You'll be able to see that I worked, and you can give praise to me indeed. I am always right here beside you, little one. Trust me that I am always right there. Look to me for all of your needs while you call out to me in prayer.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's good. That is good. Megan, you first, and then Angel. Just some comments on my little sermonette there.
But, fine.
You know,
you're fine. Piggybacking off of what you were talking about before the song, is that being a Christian or not being a Christian, life happens. And what I mean by that is, whether you walk in faith or whether you don't at this point in your life, life happens. There's going to be things that happen that come up in your life, such as job loss, financial problems, marital problems, problems with your friends, problems with people in your church. But the difference of walking with the Lord and knowing that even though life happens, that there is someone always there beside you, rooting you on, advocating for you to the throne of God, and speaking on your behalf and being a cheerleader for you like you can't even imagine. That's the difference in being a believer and a non-believer. And it makes a big difference when you have a faith-based heart, because I've had things happen in my life, and I've seen people go through things that they're horrible, they're astronomical, they're horrible, it's hard to watch. And instead of sitting on the sidelines and complaining, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, my faith is, yes, I know this is going on, but guess what? I know who's going to take care of it, and that's my Lord Jesus Christ. And our testimonies are what will bring people to the Lord. Are the light that shines through us will bring us to the Lord. We don't have to go door to door anymore. It's too uncomfortable. We're too afraid of each other. So when you go out in public, if you have a smile on your face, no matter what your day is like, you're going to change somebody's perspective because you are shining the light through your actions.
Amen.
Let's go on. I'm going to start preaching.
There you go. It's easy, apparently, on this show to do that. So
it is.
Angel, how about you?
Well, I absolutely agree with everything that you guys are talking about. And I think just to kind of go back just a little bit, when we talked in the beginning about, you know, the gospel reaching the whole world and how people feel like that missionary commission means going abroad or going somewhere foreign or going somewhere outside our zone. But we have a mission field in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. We have a mission field at the grocery store. Our mission field is where we walk. That's a field that God has given us to let that light shine and let people see which part of that line we stand on, that we stand with God and we are firm in our faith, and letting them see that in the daily, everyday, mundane activities. That's our mission field.
Right. And, you know, it's been said a lot that sometimes we are going to be the only Jesus that people see. Their impression of who Jesus is what we say and what we do. I mean, if they know we're Christians, for better or for worse, we do tend to get scrutinized a lot more. And just remember, you know, sometimes we're the only Jesus that anybody's ever going to see. So, Angel, if you would, please, tell us about Go Yard before we go to station ID here in a couple minutes. If you just talk a little bit about Go Yard.
Oh, absolutely. Go Yard is our Thursday night life coaching show. It's me, Dr. Angel, and Pastor Mama Mac, and we talk about living life, giving you tools and strengths to handle the everyday life and getting you through it. And it's on at 6 o'clock on Thursday nights here on the station.
And you guys have been on for what now, 2 years or something?
3 years this September.
Wow. Okay, that hardly seems possible. 3 years already. So Beacon has two shows here. Like Angel said, Go Yard. We also have this show, Living the Good Life, which you can hear also, of course, on TANTALK1340.com, which is the web address. But also, you can always go to StarComRadioNetwork.com on Saturday and Sunday. At 10 a.m. is Living the Good Life, and at 12 noon is Go Yard. So there's plenty of opportunities to hear the shows, and all the shows are archived. With Go Yard, I know going back almost now all 3 years, with Living the Good Life going back, you know, almost 10, those you can access through Living the Good Life. You can access those shows through our website, which is bohmglobal.com. And the website for Go Yard is what, Angel? Go Yard
2014. Go Yard
2014.org. So there is a difference there. It's bohmglobal.com, Go Yard 2014.org. So you can get all the past shows, which I think is another wonderful thing about technology. Or you can join us live every Wednesday night for now at the Red Roof Inn at 3580 Olmerton. We get together starting about 6 for prayer. We take prayer requests. We pray out of the Prayers That Avail Much book. Then at 6:30, we have praise and worship. Then we get into the Word, and it's an interactive Bible study every week. Like I said earlier, we'll be starting a new series about knowing God, and who knows how long that will go. But bring your Bible, bring notebook, pencil, bring your dinner, as Nan often does, and I sometimes do, because we're coming kind of right from work. So, you know, we bring our dinners. So join us. Now, there will be a change on September 10th. That's a Sunday. We'll be meeting up at Pastor's House, and we'll get you more details on that. We'll be meeting on Sunday mornings up there starting in September, so we will no longer be at the Red Roof Inn. Okay? Well, let's go to station ID, and then we'll be right back on Living the Good Life.